Hey, everybody. For the first time this afternoon, welcome into Flanagan's Pub. I'm John Bedell. My partner tonight is former Flyer Rex Gardecki. The Dayton Flyers in a boat race today.
It was a fast-paced game, John. I tell you, it was going up and down the first quarter. I thought the play that really set the fans off was when Ryan got the one rebound, took it 94 feet, and flushed it down. So he played so inspired today. I think this is his best game he's played all season.
Yeah. Rex, as we know here on Flyer Feedback, good teams win, champions cover. I think the line closed at 20. Dayton with a blowout. 28-point win over the UMass Minutemen. At times, it just looked like it was not a fair fight, Rex. The way this Dayton team came out firing, it took UMass more than 12 minutes into the game to crack double figures. Just the hustle plays, it was night and day. Dayton just out-hustling UMass. It was really a 28-point win that really wasn't even that close,
it felt like. And they had really worked this week on a lot of different sets that UMass runs, and I think they did an excellent job of switching, picking up guys so they wouldn't let the shooters get set in their shots. And that makes a lot in the first half when the guys start thinking about their shots. So they worked on the press the last couple days. That press did not bother one bit. They ran through that without any problem. So good win. I look at UMass 4 days ago, they go into St. Louis and lose in three in overtime. So that's a good sign for the Flyers.
Obviously, the arena was going bonkers at different times, but a study hall-like hush fell over the arena about halfway through the second frame when Obi Toppin looked like he turned his ankle. A sight Dayton fans never want to see. Obi on his back, holding his left ankle. He was able to walk off the court, albeit slowly, but under his own power, Rex. It looked like he turned his ankle. We'll see what the official word is, but certainly really tense and uneasy moments for Dayton fans having to see that.
Yeah, I mean, such a great kid, has worked so hard. Hopefully it is. It looked like he almost got whiplash when it got to the middle of the court. The guy sort of whacked into him, and I think Obi's leg hit his head because he was down at the same time. So, as I said, I was sort of standing right there in the tunnel. He was able to walk off with his own power and everything. And as I said, when we got back here, we saw him on the bench smiling. So hopefully a lot of ice today, ice tomorrow, slowly Monday, and come back Tuesday and play a gigantic game.
Yeah, that's a big one with the much-hated Richmond Rams coming in here on Tuesday night. That's turned into a big rivalry since VCU came into the A-10 a few years ago. But, yeah, at least insight from Larry Hansgen during the broadcast earlier that from what he's able to tell in terms of nonverbals and things, looking at people, it didn't appear that there was a whole lot of urgency or concern with Obi. He, afterwards, we know he turned the ankle from what we witnessed. It's just, what is it? Is it an ankle sprain? Is it the dreaded high ankle sprain? We just don't know yet, but we'll work to find that out. But I will say, I would not read into him, and I think most Dayton fans know this, but I would not read into Obi, Rex, not coming back into the game. I mean, you're beating the brakes off the Minutemen. He came back onto the bench, but after that injury, you're not going. There's no need for him to come back into the game when you're up.
I think if he would have got up, somebody would have headlocked and kept him down. But it was great because you looked at him at the end of the game. He was smiling. He was laughing. So that's got to be a good sign, I think, John. So we'll just keep our fingers crossed and get ready for Tuesday night.
Yeah, and even despite Obi leading the way with 16 after his early exit, you had just double figures all over the board. Ryan Mikesell continues to be – I tell you what, Rex, that's a guy that – to talk about next year for just a second. Mikesell, that's a guy we're going to miss big time next year.
Yeah.
Ryan Mikesell, the fifth-year senior, continues to play like a tremendous leader. He had 15. He had my hustle play of the game earlier in that tap-out rebound I mentioned earlier. Rodney Chapman with 11. Jalen Crutcher, who note for UMass when they play in Amherst in a couple weeks in February – Rex, it's typically advisable to put a body on Jalen Crutcher when you got an inbounds play. Jalen Crutcher with 12 as he nailed that three right at the buzzer at the end of the first half. Trey Landers, another tremendous senior leader, playing his rear end off, continues to be a very low-key MVP for this team. Trey, the Wayne High School graduate, had 13, and Ibby Watson with 11.
You know, when you get four or five guys that are dangerous to score, I tell you, it is so hard to guard. And especially when the ball goes into Obi, everybody's double-teaming him. And if you just get the shots in the corner and freeze everybody up when it comes to that. And I thought who played probably their best game of the season today was Jordy Shimanga.
Oh, yeah?
He was very active on the boards, did an excellent job defensively. The guy he was guarding was just about his size, about his weight and everything. And there was a lot of banging going on there. But I thought he did a really good job defensively, didn't get in foul trouble, was able to contribute off the bench.
And he's a guy, Rex, that is really, I believe, starting to come into form in terms of when you look at this rotation. Anthony's been tinkering with it, and it's definitely settled into a groove. And because he Saw action for the first time in Maui. Jordy's been a little more slow to come along in terms of rounding into form in that rotation, but I think he's really settled into that spot pretty nicely by this point, Rex. He's really starting to find his groove.
Well, we talked. It's you just don't do that overnight, John. It's a matter of situation, getting your legs and getting things underneath you. And it takes three, four, five games, six games to do it, and that's what he's done. He just seemed so much more confident today in his play. Sometimes, you know, he dropped balls and things like that. My daughter would say, why is Jordy fumbling? I said, well, it's a fast-paced game, and he didn't practice for almost 5 or 6 weeks. So he's rounding into shape, and I think coming into this part of the season, it's really going to help.
Yeah. Just a reminder, I'm John Bedell. My partner tonight is former Flyer Rex Gardecki. We're here live at Flanagan's Pub, as we are after every UD home game, as we await the postgame comments of head coach Anthony Grant. He'll be live with Larry Hanskin over on Blackburn Court at UD Arena coming up. But for right now, as we wait for Coach Anthony Grant, we're talking about an 88-60 Dayton Flyers win. A 28-point win moves the number 15 Dayton Flyers to 14-2 overall, and undefeated 3-0 in A-10 play as they look ahead to their first big test in A-10 play, and probably one of the few real rock fights they're looking at, Rex, in A-10 play, the VCU Rams on
with
Tuesday
the students
night.
Being back, with the students being here today and drinking a little beer, getting back to class Monday, it's going to be a raucous crowd Tuesday night in the arena. So I sort of wish those days when we were young, John.
Takes me back, Rex.
Take you back.
Class of 2010, time of my life. Hey, this has been a contentious series between Dayton and UMass, Rex. 2 years ago, UMass swept the season series. Very frustrating couple games for Dayton fans, I know. And then last year, Flyers turned around and swept the Minutemen as they played twice last year. They are pod teams again this year. So, as I mentioned earlier, there will be a return game here. Dayton goes to Amherst on February 15th on their return game in this series. Dayton now leads the all-time series between the Flyers and the Minutemen 15-14.
Well, I think they just took the heart out of them in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, the pressure that they applied, UMass had a tough time even getting the ball in bounds. And when we were doubling, when the guy turned his back, it just was so much more effective. And all of a sudden, you look, it went from a 4-point game to a 12-point game in a matter of a minute and a half. And I think that's the sign their defense is starting to work to understand and rotations on the switches and things like that. And UMass just had a heck of a time getting a Denny set.
And that's something we talked about a few weeks ago here on Flyer Feedback, Rex, is that it's not to say that this Dayton team won't get tested ever in A-10 play, because they will.
They will. Yeah.
But they're not going to lose many games they have no business losing.
No.
And they, on paper, when healthy, I believe this, they have no peer in this league this year. Even VCU, they have no equal in this league. And there's going to be a lot of nights where they come out like tonight to take that next step with top 25 ranking, tournament hopes, all of these things. There's going to be a lot of nights where you love to see Dayton come out and just crush the life out of their opponent to make it very clear.
Well,
this is how it's going to be.
I agree. And all you have to do is look last Sunday against St. Joe's. We can talk about that in a little while.
Well, what does head coach Anthony Grant think about this 28-88-60 Dayton Flyers win? Well, you're about to find out, because he is live with Larry Hanskin on Blackburn Court over at UD Arena on the other side of this break, right here, live on the home of the Flyers.
The home of the Flyers, 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's news and talk. The home of the Flyers, 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's news and talk.
Larry Hanskin back at the UD Arena, where the Dayton Flyers defeat UMass 88-60. To the court with Coach Anthony Grant, brought to you by Pickrell, Schaefer, and Ebling, a Dayton law firm for over 100 years. And Coach, you got off to a good start. That first 5 minutes, could you have played much better defense?
Yeah, I thought our guys really did a good job. The first half, overall, I thought we were really, really good defensively. I thought the defense led to opportunities in transition, allowed us to be able to build the lead. Overall, really pleased defensively. We met all the goals that we set for the game in terms of what we wanted to accomplish offensively. 17 assists. Six guys in double figures. It was great to see. I thought overall, really good performance.
You turned UMass over 21 times, and I say you turned them over because of those 21 turnovers, you had 12 steals. So it was Dayton's defense that was creating those things.
Yeah, I thought our guys just did the things that we've talked about in terms of what we want to do from the defensive side of the ball. A lot of it was just being in the right place at the right time and making them uncomfortable in terms of their ability to run their offense. I thought our guys did a good job with that.
Ryan Mikesell had a huge game for you, a double-double with 15 points, a career-high 14 rebounds.
Yeah.
And you gave him a lot on his plate defensively on top of that.
No question. You know, obviously, from a matchup standpoint, they've got some guys that can really score the ball with Carl Pierre, their point guard, the big kid inside Mitchell, and Ryan kind of, he got a mix of all of it. It was really good to see his ability to rebound the ball and then ignite the transition for us. You know, for a guy his size at 6'7", when he rebounds and then having the skill to be able to handle it and finish for himself and make plays for his teammates, you know, that's a good weapon for us to have as we move forward.
Obi rolled his ankle midway through the second half. What's the level of concern right now?
Yeah, well, we'll find out more. You know, obviously it's too early to tell. I think he said he felt like as he was going back, he was backpedaling, he stepped on someone's foot and rolled it. So hopefully the next 24 hours will tell us more, but we'll see what happens from there.
Every time you take the court, you have an opportunity to either get better, stay the same, or regress. What happened today?
I think we got better. You know, I think we got better as a team. I think, you know, with every game, our guys are beginning to understand more and more, you know, when we're locked in on the defensive end like we were tonight, you know, we got a chance to be a really, really good team, and I think that showed.
All right, Coach, congratulations.
Appreciate it. Go Flyers.
All right. That does wrap it up here on behalf of our group courtside, including our engineer producer here, Caleb McLeod, and filling in for Bucky today, Brooks Hall. I'm Larry Hanskin. One more time, our final is Dayton 88 and UMass 60. Now, stick around for more of Flyer Feedback.
The home of the Flyers, 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's news and talk. The Bud Light Postgame Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. Brought to you by Bud Light. Keep it crisp with Bud Light. Premier Health is proud to be the official healthcare provider for UD Athletics. Learn more at premierhealth.com/sportsmed. Vandalia Blacktop and Seal Coating. Make your parking lot look great again. Go to vandaliablacktop.com to see how. Mayberry's Van and Storage. Are you moving? Trust Mayberry's for all your moving and storage needs. Code Credit Union, celebrating 80 years in 2020, and by Flyer Spirit, the university-owned student staff destination for Dayton Flyers gear. Hashtag Flyer Spirit. The Bud Light Postgame Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's news and talk. University of Dayton basketball is a presentation of 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's news and talk. The announcers for today's game were chosen in conjunction with the University of Dayton. Get up, Flyer fans. It's the show just for you. Flyer Feedback, presented by Bud Light and live from Flanagan's Pub on Stewart Street in Dayton. Stop by after the game for delicious food and 24 beers on tap. Flyer Feedback is brought to you by Bud Light. Keep it crisp with Bud Light. And by Flyer Spirit, the university-owned student staff destination for Dayton Flyers gear. Hashtag Flyer Spirit. Call in with your comments or questions, 457-1290. Flyer Feedback on 1290. And 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's news and talk. Now, here's your host, John Bedell.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into Flanagan's Pub for the first time tonight. You heard the man. I'm John Bedell. My partner tonight is former Flyer Rex Gardecki. The Dayton Flyers, a winner in a big way, 88-60 over the UMass Minutemen. The 28-point win gets the number 15 team in all the land off to a 14-2 start, the best start this team has had in years. In fact, since the 14-15 campaign when it started 13-2, and that was a team, Rex, that won 15 before it lost its third game of the year. And Dayton is off to a 3-0 start atop the A-10 standings as they look ahead to a massive tilt against the VCU Rams as they come into town Tuesday night for an 8 o'clock tip, Rex.
Yeah, that's going to be a game, as I'm sure the crowd's going to be wild and ready to go, as we said, with the students being back and everything. It's really the two marquee teams in this league, John. I mean, you can look around at this. Yeah. By far, they're the two marquee teams. And it's always a dogfight when we play with them. I mean, like 3 or 4 years ago when we won the league and we just swamped them at home, they're very competitive, and they play so hard, and their guard play is so effective and everything. So I think it's one game. If we can handle their pressure and not worry about that and get the ball inside, hopefully Obi's feels better. I don't think they can defend us at that point. Now, I don't think any team will be able to really pressure us full court and bother us.
There's been a lot of people obviously wondering about Obi. Speaking of ways you can get on this show, you can tweet me at JVDLWHIO. You can take advantage of the Bud Light mic. here at Flanagan's, or you can call us up at 937-457-1290. Drew on Twitter says, what's the story with Obi? Drew, I like where your head's at, because I believe your tweet and mine crossed wires, because Larry asked Anthony Grant in the postgame, his live postgame comments, what's the level of concern over Obi's injury? Anthony said it's too early to tell right now. Next 24 hours to know a whole lot, but Anthony said that Obi told him what a lot of us, some of us in the arena saw, that Obi said he was backpedaling and at half court he stepped on somebody's foot and rolled the ankle. So we'll see, Rex, what it ends up being. He was back on the bench. Obviously, I wouldn't read anything into the fact that he didn't come into the game, because by the time we saw him pop out of the tunnel and sit back down on the bench, they're up by 30. You're not going to put Obi Toppin back into that game. But he seemed in good spirits, and, we'll see, Rex.
Yeah, I think that's a great sign. If I think it was something really severe, they would have kept him in the locker room and kept it on ice. I'm sure they'll put it in a boot tonight, ice it and put it in a boot, which is how they do these situations. And I just feel very strongly and very hopeful that, in 48 hours, 72 hours, that he's going to be, he might not be 100%, but 80% of Obi's a heck of a lot better than somebody else's 70%.
I see a lot of ice and cold tubs in Obi Toppin's future, Rex, as we move forward to the VCU game. Also, you can take advantage of the aforementioned Bud Light Mike, Bob, and Dayton.
I will say, after Obi went down, it was very good to see the Flyers step it up without him. And Jordy Chimunga looked pretty good, actually. Trey Landers, what do you think about a guy that goes out with four fouls and then comes back in and pretty much plays out the rest of the game? If that isn't teamwork and team spirit, I don't know what is.
Yeah, he's such a team leader, and Trey just exudes it in practice. And really, the younger players looked up to him. And he probably, along with Ryan now, is one of our better defenders. He is such a strong person at his size. He's really probably only about 6'4", but he can guard a 6'7" guy because he's so strong with his arms and everything. So, yeah, and I think I agree with you. I think Jordy played his best game today, and hopefully this goes forward.
Yeah, it was nice to see Jordy actually play and only get a couple fouls, because foul trouble has been his issue. And I guess that's my get-off-the-stage question. Given where Obi is now, and obviously that's a question mark, do you see Jordy Chimunga suddenly becoming very important for the VCU game?
Well, he's going to have to, because VCU has a couple of kids about 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", that are strong kids. One of them right now is playing in the NFL, played a couple of years ago. So they're a very team that just tries to get into your goat. And Jordy's going to have to play, in that type of play, because they're going to be pressing 94 feet. And it's going to be a dogfight.
Yeah. Well, this was still a good win, because UMass is always a tough team to play. I don't care how good they are. And it was nice to see them getting smacked this year. So, anyway, good game. Look forward to VCU, guys. Till then, go Flyers.
Thank you, Bob. Yeah, we don't care how good UMass is. And the good news is they're not very good this year. And VCU's got some size, Rex. You look at a guy like Marcus Santos Silva. He's one of the best big men in the country, or in the conference, and I want to get out over my skis with that. They also got some good guard play with Marcus Evans and Deriante Jenkins, so very talented VCU squad, and next peg down from Dayton in terms of the pecking order of this league. They're right there.
Yeah, that's going to be a pressure game, and I know there's a lot of talk of Obi all of a sudden looking at maybe a National Player of the Year candidate.
Oh, yeah.
And Doug Hoshaw and I talked about that the other day. It's been a while since we've had a player of that structure, so it's something new to us along the lines. And if Obi's back, they got to defend Obi, and they got to defend everybody else. And I just like the way that we play today with such intensity and taking the ball to the basket. And there wasn't any signs that just hold the ball back. They just went full bore to it, and I think that's the way they need to play.
Yeah, and a big game Tuesday for the fans too, because we know for the younger Dayton fans on Twitter, or whoever's on Twitter really, if you're a Dayton fan, it gets heated when loud Twitter and Twitter searching Twitter go head-to-head when Dayton and VCU play, so we'll see. Hey, Bud Light Mike, it's Leslie from Ideal Travel.
Hi, John. Hi, Rex. The phones have been ringing off the hook at Ideal Travel this week with excitement around the Atlantic 10 tournament in Brooklyn. We have booked up a lot of spaces for that, and space is limited. So if you are thinking about it and you've been sitting on your hands, don't do it anymore. Give me a call on Monday, 223-7447. We have fantastic packages, including air, lodging in either Manhattan or Brooklyn. That's your choice. All session game tickets and airport transfers. So don't be left back in Dayton. Get on the plane with us, and let's follow the Flyers for an Atlantic 10 championship this year. Go Flyers.
Thank you, Leslie. Go Flyers.
Let's hope we're only there 2 days, John, instead of three or four.
We got to finish it, though, Rex. Yes. Go Flyers and go America. Hat tip at him. Hey, Dayton a winner today. 88-60, a 28-point winner. Anthony Grant and Matt McCall, these are two guys, Rex, that go way back. They spent a lot of time on Billy Donovan's staff together in Florida, and they've stayed tight ever since. So these two have a history. But UMass, I think, is eventually going to be on the upswing, Rex. They've got a lot of good young talent. That's a team that's going to be feisty for years to come with some of the young talent, but they're just not quite there yet this year, fortunately for Dayton. This is a team picked 11th in the A-10 preseason poll, and they played like it
tonight.
That's
how they played, I think, along the lines. It's hard to play two or three freshmen going into this type of schedule, and with the crowd behind Dayton today, they're going to take some lumps. But let's hopefully now they can go into some places and beat somebody along the line. So.
Also, tonight was Hall of Fame night. Yeah. You were talking to Chris Wright. I know he looks like he can still play.
He looks great. What a great individual and a representative of our university here. I can remember him in high school blocking his shot when he never even jumped.
Yeah,
coming here, and he made some plays. And I thought I'd never say it to the day that I'd see a better jumper than Chris Wright, but I think Obi is the guy.
He's hard to stop, but a guy like Obi Toppin certainly has. You know, it was funny when Larry was talking at halftime. Well, he leads UD in dunks and blocks. Well, for now he does, you know, but I think Obi's going to eclipse that eventually. But Chris Wright, also another really good basketballer back in the day. She was at UD 3 years when I was. I was a year ahead of her. Kristen Doherty. You knew her as Kristen Doherty then. She's now Kristen Renai these days. But she was class of 2011, the start. She was at the very start of Dayton women's basketball being turned into the A-10 power they are. And, of course, Tim Wobbler, a 74 grad of UD and the athletic director that went and plucked a no-name at the time assistant coach of Archie Miller, an unknown guy who, you know, just happened to lead Dayton to, so far, the best postseason stretch, most successful postseason stretch it's ever had. So quite a class there. This year's Hall of Fame class with Chris Wright, Tim Wobbler, and Kristen Doherty Renai going into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's great to see. And as Larry said about Tim Wobbler, he was a UD guy. And Coach Donner said that it helped us get to a certain point where we needed to with things with the arena, and now it's followed on with Neil Sullivan. So those three were very, very honored to be there and very well accepted, I think.
Yeah. It's John Bedell, it's former Flyer Rex Gardecki, and you here for Flyer Feedback this afternoon as we recap an 88-60 Dayton Flyers win. We are here until 3:30 this afternoon live from Flanagan's. As I mentioned, you can join us on the show a few ways. You can tweet me at jbedellwhio, and I may read your tweet on the air. But keep it clean, you guys. This is a family show. You can call us up at 937-457-1290, or you can take advantage of the Bud Light mic if you're here live with us at Flanagan's. And, you know, this was a game, Rex, that got chippy at different times.
Yep.
There was a scrum before the under-16 early where there was some chirping and the refs had to separate some guys, Trey Landers and Diallo was kind of chirping back at Trey and they had to separate them. And then I was honestly shocked that Colton Mitchell from UMass didn't get himself a tee, Rex, because he blocked a Cohill layup. And as Dwayne fell to the floor, Mitchell stood over top of him and doubled over and chirped in his face, and I thought, man, how do you get away with the tee for that one?
But that's a cheap move, but, you know, it's part of the game, unfortunately.
Yeah, so Dwayne Culhoe just has to point up and say, hey, look at the scoreboard, bro. Dayton Flyers winner in a runaway, 88-60, a 28-point win gets Dayton to 14-2 overall and 3-0 in A-10 play. This is Flyer Feedback. It continues live from Flanagan's Pub after we take a break and pay some bills and hear some news right here on the Home of the Flyers.
From our downtown Dayton McAfee Heating and Air Studios, WHIO AM Dayton, WHIO FM Pleasant Hill, a Cox Media Group station. You're listening to Flyer Feedback on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's news and talk. Call with your questions and comments now at 457-1290. Flyer Feedback on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's news and talk.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into Flanagan's Pub. John Bedell, former Flyer Rex Gardecki, and you here for Flyer Feedback after a Dayton win, 88-60. A 28-point win for Anthony Grant and company gets the Dayton Flyers to 14-2 overall, and they have started to continue A-10 play, an undefeated 3-0. We've had a lot of questions about Obi Toppin. Want to get a quick update, and we will get to David Jablonski on the hotline in just a second. But Anthony offered a slightly more detail than he did to Larry Hanskin in his live postgame comments. Anthony was asked by David Jablonski, you know, what's the word on Obi? And Anthony said, quote, I think sprained ankle is the indication right now, and then also reiterated what he told Larry, that we'll know more in the next 24 hours. And you'd think, Rex, that once the swelling or whatever is going on in the area goes down, they'll be able to get a little more clear look at severe. It's, we know it's an ankle right. sprain now. It's just how severe is it?
Well, and today in the world of medicine, you know, they can, so much they can do. They'll continue to ice it. There's a machine, I don't know, Trainer Mike knows more about than I do, but they put that on Ryan where it just keeps the blood flowing so it doesn't get into one spot, and that's the problem with sprained ankles. And they'll do everything they will in the next 24 hours. This night's going to be a long night for OB yeah. and for the trainers, but this is part of the game. So, you know, it's just injuries. I thought about it even before this, you know, this game started. I thought, you know, really, we've been pretty lucky so far.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know
knock
we've got
wood.
A lot of depth, but, you know, knock on wood, you know, we haven't had a lot of problems with that.
Yeah. Let's talk about another roster move, too, because Chase Johnson announced yesterday that he is medically withdrawing from the University of Dayton. We've known for many, many weeks. UD came out and said he's dealing with an illness. Then we found out with the release from UD he was dealing with post-concussive stress syndrome on December 30th, and he said yesterday he's also dealing with some lingering effects of mono. Let me just – we talk about on the show, Rex, informing and educating informing and entertaining. And let's go into the informing part because of our nature of being around this program and just being privy, frankly, to information fans or not. I've been seeing a lot on Twitter, and I know that Twitter is not the place for nuance and factual discussions. Wow, it's got to be great. And I get that the timing of this whole thing lends itself to that speculation. But let me tell you unequivocally, I know for a fact, after talking to multiple people, including a UD spokesman today, this is not anything to do with grades. This is medical. End of story. It's not academic. So let's just put an end to that speculation because I've seen plenty of it. It's reckless. And just so we got the real story straight here, it's medical. End of story.
And I think that's why, you know, we're all concerned about Chase. That's the important part. I mean, sure, we'd love to have him back here. And hopefully, you know, he can get his condition taken care of and move on with his life. It's nice that his parents are close in West Virginia, that he's able to be with them. And the dealings that I've had with Chase throughout the summer and now has been nothing but a pleasant situation, and I just wish the best for him.
Yeah. And by background, I'm a reporter. My currency is facts. So let's get some facts out
right.
there, Rex. And I don't know Chase, but personally, we wish him well.
Right.
And this is no slight against him, Rex. But moving forward on the court, his absence is not going to affect this season a whole heck of a lot.
No, not the way that Jordy's playing right now. And just going to be more minutes for Jordy. And we'll just move on without him and just look forward to Tuesday night.
Yep. Going to go to the hotline. It's scorched earth hot because David Jablonski is on there. Two-thirds of the earth is covered by water. The rest of it is covered by David Jablonski. Jabbo, I just talked about your tweet a little bit with the video you sent to sent of Anthony Grant. Can you just give us some insight into what Anthony said to further that about Obi Toppin's injury?
Basically what you said, we'll know better in 24 hours how severe it is. He went to the locker room, you know, right after it happened to get treatment and came back out in the big protective boot. But the boot doesn't necessarily mean it's a severe injury. They put those things on every sort of ankle or lower leg sprain. So that doesn't really tell us a whole lot. I did see Obi walk into the locker room and, you know, kind of ask him briefly, how is it? And he kind of gave me the thumbs up and said, it's good. I wouldn't read too much into that, too, because players are very optimistic about their injury. So I guess it's better than him walking away and frowning, though. So,
right.
I don't know. It's a big game Tuesday, so it's bad timing for the injury. But I imagine if Obi can play at all, he'll be out there Tuesday knowing how important that game is.
Yeah, certainly a sobering sight, Dave, for UD fans to see Obi on the floor clutching that left ankle right above his sneaker on the floor. But hopefully, like you said, it'll calm down and he'll be able to be available for a really big VCU game. Dave, will you be searching your name on Twitter between now and Tuesday?
I don't actually have a column in the tweet deck for my name, but it sounds like a good idea.
Well, you must not be a VCU fan.
No.
a good team win tonight.
I've been fun at those fans. Yeah, but I do appreciate that fan base because they fill their arena.
Yes.
Like no other team in the conference except Dayton. So, and this has turned into such a great rivalry, every game being close the last couple of years. As Anthony Grant said after the game, though, you know, we got to win one eventually because they haven't won one in 2 years instead of a crazy 106-79 victory here at UD Arena.
Yeah, it's been a contentious rivalry, and it's certainly turned into, for my money, the best rivalry in the A-10. next to the Arch Barron Cup in St. Louis, of course, Jabbo. But it's
yeah, I don't know
BCU's
what you're
so close.
About, John. I mean, you're just looking right past the ABC.
It's the stuff of legends, the Arch Barron Cup. But you know, Dave, even with, as we mentioned this earlier, OB leading the way with 16, still a really great team effort. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys in double figures, and I think a guy that continues to have a really underrated season, as Michael Scott would say, well, maybe next time we'll estimate him, is Ryan Mikesell. Jabbo with a 15 points tonight, and for my money, the hustle play of the night, tapping out a rebound to keep a possession alive that finished with a score. Ryan Mikesell's just playing out of his mind in these last few games, Jabbo.
Yeah, one of the last links to those great Archie Miller teams, played for two Atlantic 10 championship teams. Of course, you know, Trey Lanners was on the roster Archie's last season, but didn't really play that season. So Mikesell, the last reminder of those T.T. Smith, Kendall Pollard, Kyle Davis teams, and really closing out his career with a flourish with just an amazing, consistently amazing performance night in and night out. And really can do it all. I mean, maybe he can keep the three a little bit better, but he can get to the rim, and he's dunking. Like becoming the second-best dunker on the team next to Obi. He kind of joked about that after the game today. He had a really nice, you know, coast-to-coast dunk today. And, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how he finishes out his career as far as how the team goes, because I know individually-wise he's been really good.
Yeah, he's been a key. Well, Dave, a big win, a 28-point runaway, and before we see the new poll come out Monday and before the first real test of the A-10 season, Dave, this is going to be a heavyweight bout at UD Arena. That should be a fun one Tuesday night when VCU comes calling.
Yeah, I think they'll have a chance even if Obi doesn't play. It'll hurt their chances, but, you know, having the game at home, they'll have a shot to beat VCU. But it's going to be a tough one, even matter if Obi's in the lineup or out. We'll find out maybe Monday night on the Anthony Grant Show. Maybe Larry can get us an update then on how Obi's doing.
Dave, I like that forward sell. I like that branding. I thank you very much for teeing that up for us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
See, he's getting the hang of this radio thing. David Jablonski, our friend and colleague from the Dayton Daily News. Dave, thanks for checking in with your time and insight. We always appreciate it here on Flyer Feedback.
All right, see you later.
See you, Dave. All right, back to the Bud Light mic, Jeff and Dayton.
Hey, guys. Let's go back about 4 years, and there were a lot of people talking, myself among them, that said Ryan Mikesell better be able to score because he can't stop anybody. And tonight he picked up the UMass point guard at half court. That guy gave him every move he had, and Mikesell shut him down. He had kicked the ball out. Later in the game, he was guarding the center. And, you know, he did that at St. Joe's LaSalle almost every night out. You know, he can switch on everything now. He's developed his defense to the point that he's not that liability that everyone saw in him early. And maybe it's the hip surgery that has given him the mobility back or something. But his defense has really been underrated and pretty much undiscussed.
Well, he's so long too. When you look at his length when he stretches out, I mean, that's what makes him so effective. And he's such a smart player. I mean, he's played the game for so long, and he's seen everything. You know, when you get to that point as a fifth-year kid, he reminds me of like a 30-year-old guy in an industrial league that just, you know, he understands where everybody's going to go.
Yeah.
And it's funny we talked about that, and I won't go back too much about this, the St. Joe's game, the Daly kid that I'd watched him early in the season. I thought, he looks like one of those kids that, you know, is 35 years old out there playing. And that's how Ryan is, but I mean that in a good way for Ryan. So, you know, he just played his tail off tonight, and he can guard, you know, in the A-10 there's not a lot of gigantic 6'9", 6'10" kids.
No.
But he can guard really from a 1 through a 5 along those lines.
Yeah, and he's a guy, Rex, that you always say about Ryan Mikesell, he doesn't do any one thing great, but he doesn't do anything wrong. But really, he's starting to play great. I mean, he's really having a heck of a fifth year here at Dayton, and he's just such a key piece as this season goes along. And just from the 30,000-foot view, I hope Dayton fans continue, Rex, to really savor this year, because we are perhaps in the midst, and I thought this might have been hyperbole before the season tipped against Indiana State, but my God, this team has done nothing but just impress the heck out of everybody. The advanced metrics love them, the top 15 ranking, all of this. I hope fans really continue to really, really savor this ride, Rex, because we could be in the midst of the best season this program's ever seen. I mean, we're getting to that point at this point of the season.
Yeah, that was a question that came up Thursday and before practice when Larry was there and Mike Hartsock, and we talked about that. You know, they have to go back to almost like 1957. And they talked to Frank Case, a former player that I know, that how effective this team is when you look at offense efficiency and defense efficiency. And it just seems like we control the tempo of the game. Our defense is solid. We're able to get shots when we need them. So, yeah, let's enjoy this while we can.
Yeah. And they could be shooting for a top four seed in the NCAA tournament. And as we know, Rex, that is a tournament because of your draw, your matchups, because of the randomness of a single elimination tournament. It's a really random tournament with a small sample size. But, oh boy, this could be fun.
Yeah.
You never know, but let's just enjoy this, right? Because you never know how the tournament's going to end, but especially with a year like this, Rex, where it's not like you've got that great Anthony Davis Kentucky team where it's like, who can beat Kentucky?
Right.
There's not one real dominant, you know, 1,000-pound just monster of a team in the tournament that's, can anybody beat Duke? Can anybody beat Kentucky? There's really not that dominant team this year, so we'll see what their draw is.
That's what I said. I don't think there's just one team that just absolutely jumps out and say, boy, we want to stay away from them in the bracket. We've already played to Kansas, so we know what their style is. And I agree with you, John. I think we just got to continue to win. And the more we win, the higher seeds we're going to get.
Yep. John Bedell, Rex Gardecki, and you here for Flyer Feedback, the home stretch of it, including more of your calls. John in Springboro, hold on if you're there, buddy. We'll get your call after the break right here on the Home of the Flyers.
This is Flyer Feedback on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's news and talk. You're listening to Flyer Feedback on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's news and talk. Call with your questions and comments now at 457-1290. Flyer Feedback on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's news and talk.
Hey, everybody, for the last time tonight, welcome back in a Flanagan's Pub. John Bedell, former Flyer Rex Gardecki, and you here for Flyer Feedback as we talk about an 88-60 Dayton Flyers win over the UMass Minutemen. The 28-point winner gets Dayton to 14-2 overall, 3-0 in A-10 play as they look ahead to the VCU game Tuesday night at UD Arena. Rex, they're number 15 in this week's poll. We'll see where another 2-0 week gets them come Monday at noon.
Yeah, because, you know, somebody's going to lose over these next three or four or five days. And let's enjoy this win today. But, again, if we can get by VCU Tuesday, I really feel strongly, John, that we'll be in the top 10 to top 12 along
those.
But we have to win that game. As my grandson Jack in Texas says, we got the Duncan dudes on this team. So hopefully we can just continue to do this Tuesday.
Dayton a winner, 88-60. That is the only game so far in the A-10 today that has gone final. Look at across the rest of the A-10 slate. George Mason up 46-29 over LaSalle in Philadelphia. Fordham down 48-35 to St. Bonaventure and Olean. At the half, Davidson up 48-39 over St. Joe's. And, the best Rams team in the A-10 might not play in Richmond. Rhode Island up 47-37 over VCU with 14-20 left in the second frame. Plenty of time left there, but Brody at least with the lead in the second half there, Rex. And late tips tonight at 4 o'clock, Duquesne and GW will tip off in D.C., and St. Louis is at, for my money, the surprise team this year in the league, Rex. St. Louis tips at 6 o'clock at Richmond tonight.
Yeah,
Spiders a 5.5-point favorite at home.
That's been a good season. Another team, Duquesne's been playing extremely well. But, you know, you look at their strength of schedule, and that definitely does hurt them. But, you know, we just got to look one game at a time, and I'm not worried about St. Louis. I'm not worried about the other. I'm just worried Tuesday against VCU. And if we get that game, it gives us a couple days rest before we get on the road to go to St. Louis.
937-457-1290 is the number. Back to the phones. John is in Springboro. Hi, John.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
How are you?
Great. Loving this Flyers team, man. I am so pumped. I agree with what Rex said a little bit ago. We get a couple more wins, a VCU win, that could get us in the top 10. And that matters. That's important. Something about that top 10 and the prestige it brings, and it just helps everything. But I do have to go on record here, making a little correction in some comments earlier about being the best what was the best team, postseason team or whatever. I guess probably because I'm just an old fart, but I go back to the 65-66 team, and the reason I say by far the best postseason that we had was because of who we beat and who we lost to. And that was, you know, we started off, beat a very good Western Kentucky team, the Clint Haskins and a couple of Houston brothers that were on that team. They all played pro. And then a sharpshooter at Virginia Tech, a guy named Glenn Combs, we took him down. And then Tennessee was Ron Whidbey. See, I'm an old guy. And then, of course, blew out North Carolina. Johnny May, 14 shots in a row, but lost to UCLA and, at that time, Lou Alcindor. That has to be the best run UD's ever had.
Yeah.
And the only way I see to top that, and I hope this year's team does it, the only way I see to top that, you got to win it all. Everything else would not stack up in comparison when you take the teams they beat and the fact that there was only 32 teams in the whole tournament that time. They were all
right, yeah.
So I just want to go on record and, so, and clarify and pat those boys on the back for 66 years old.
Yeah, so that's your vote, John. Well, let me clarify back, too. Could be.
Okay,
I mean, we'll see. No, I said could be. So we'll see what happens. But I think that we knew the hype train.
The only way it could be, John, in my opinion, by the way, it's wrong. That's a big deal. The only way it could be, they just have to win it all. And I was glad to hear Obi say that the other day. The
there you go.
Hey, I'm all Ron, for these guys. Yeah.
But Ron, your lips to God's ears.
And I know it well, too.
Ron, your lips to God's ears. I would hope if they could top it. But the book is still to be written on this team. I just hope the Dayton fans savor it because we knew the hype train was cranked to just turbo six before this season started. And I think we've seen that the hype is real. So my point is I just hope Dayton fans savor this because I really think this – we'll see. The book is still to be written on this team, but – bottom line, this is a special bunch, Rex, and they're a heck of a lot of fun to watch. And Ron from Springboro, we certainly thank you for the call here on Flyer Feedback. And bottom line is this is a special group, Rex. And,
yes.
And given the randomness of the tournament, we don't know what's going to happen come March, but this is a team that right now is on a trajectory for a top four seed. Let's just enjoy the ride before we get there. Now, don't get me wrong, March is going to be a hell of a lot of fun this year. Who boy is it?
Yeah.
But you never know with the randomness of that tournament, so let's just enjoy this ride.
Yeah, I agree with you, and as we've said earlier, it sure is a lot better if you're a three-seed or four-seed than an 8 or 9 or a 10 where you know you're going to have to play one of those top teams. And
yeah.
I think as we continue to go, and Jerry Palm, you look at all the things, you know, yeah, we're going to lose a game or two. I mean, I see that happening, as other teams do. But if we maintain what I think we can do with consistency off the bench, we're not playing a lot of minutes. I mean, I didn't look at the thing, but I think probably Jalen probably played about 31, 32. We're right at that point where we've got depth coming in off the bench, and with Ibby Watson shooting the way it is, nobody has to play those 39 or 40 minutes. Those are just those are gruesome minutes.
Yeah, and we're realistic. We keep it real here on Flyer Feedback, as our listeners know, Rex, that, you know, they'll stub their toe probably once or twice. They're not going to run the table in the A-10. They might lose a game that, you know, they got no business losing. But right now, they are on the trajectory for a 4-seed, a 3.9 average on Bracketology. So, hey, that's going to do it for us, Dayton Flyers fans. One more time, Dayton winner tonight in a runaway 88-60 over UMass. Our next game is Tuesday night against VCU. We will be on the air with the expanded Bud Light pregame show live here on WHIO Radio at 7. Larry Hanskin has the call at 8, and we will see you afterwards here for Flyer Feedback Tuesday night live from Flanagan. So, for my partner tonight, Rex Gardecki, I'm John Bedell saying, hey, we'll see you on the radio Tuesday night, Flyer fans. And until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and go Flyer.